So sitting there a few moments ago, and as a way of beginning, just some thoughts that I had as I sat there. I thought about the old Baptists and how that sometimes, and I want to, in saying what I say, I feel like that sometimes we belittle that which the Lord has given us. And I thought about it in this way. I know on one occasion I had a member of my family who does not belong to the old Baptist church. We were talking something about the Lord, and they asked me if I was going to heaven, or some way that came into the conversation, and I said, I hope that I am. And they looked at me kind of strangely, as if, you're not sure, you're a preacher. And I then tried to explain to them, and what I thought about was sometimes we as God's children, I think, leave folks in the dark in some ways about what we believe and what we have within us. I thought of some things, and there was a minister in our association some years ago. He's passed away now. But he used to speak just about every time that he got into the stand. At some time during his preaching, he would refer to that little man within. And I know what the brother intended and what he meant in his preaching and saying that. And he certainly wasn't belittling or wasn't trying to belittle that which the Lord has planted within our hearts. But sometimes we're not very clear about what the Lord has done for us. If I hadn't have went on to try to explain to those people I was talking to that night that what my hope is, and had just left them with the expression, well, I hope I'll get there, they wouldn't have had any understanding at all about what I felt and what I feel within my heart. And when we speak of the little man within, we are in a sense contradicting the scripture, because the Bible says greater is he that is within than he that is in the world. So that which abides within us, though it is within this natural body, and if you look at it in a, I guess in a physical standpoint, we would all have to say that that which is within us is certainly smaller than what you see. But the Bible says that which is within is greater. He that is within is greater than he that is in the world. And I thought about some things and some verses of Scripture. And I think about these a lot of times in speaking to folks that feel like that they have to help the Lord to give them eternal life. And there are three passages of Scripture, and I want you to think about them this morning. And whether if you belong to the old Baptist, I hope you understand what they mean. If you're here and you don't belong to the old Baptist church, I hope you will consider what the Scripture is teaching us in this. And if you have that feeling that somehow you have to assist the Lord in order for you to have eternal life, and I hope you will consider these verses of Scripture. And the first one, and I'll do this in a sense in the form of a question. The first question I want to ask you is, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, you can think about that for yourself. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you do, then I want to quote to you a scripture found in the first epistle of John, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse, I believe. where it says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And I'm not a great English scholar. I mentioned last night, I graduated from high school. I didn't go on to college. To be honest with you, I never was one that thought a whole lot about the English subjects that I took in school. I couldn't, just for some reason, didn't think there was much need of me being able to diagram sentences and look at a word and say, this is an adjective, this is a verb, this is an adverb, and this is this and this is that. Of course, I realize now that it was more important than I thought at the time, and I certainly would encourage the young people here today to strive to do as best you can in school, in classes, and learn just as much as you can and continue your education, because truthfully, you'll be, no matter what field of labor you go into, you will continue throughout your life being educated in some form or fashion. But if you read that passage of Scripture, and I quoted that to some men I worked with one day. They were talking about a person they knew that they knew, talking about how good a person he was and the things that he did and this and that and the other. But they were just so sorry that he had not accepted the Lord. And they were talking about him, and I said, well, and they asked me something, and I said, well, I don't hardly feel that way about it. And they said something then, and I said, well, let me quote you a scripture. And I said, First Epistle of John, the 5th chapter, and the 1st verse says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, if you take that sentence to an English scholar and tell them to lay that sentence out for you, if they're not caught up in the world and just absolutely refuse because of what they believe to tell you exactly what that verse of Scripture is saying, they will plainly explain to you that birth is not based upon belief, but the belief is based upon the birth. Because that Scripture is very plain. If you believe today in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, you have been born to the Spirit of God. You're not going to be born because you have believed that, but you believe that because you have been born to the Spirit of God. Another verse of Scripture, another question that I ask you is this: do you love the Lord? And you examine your heart this morning and within yourself and ask yourself that question: do you love the Lord? And I'll quote to you another verse of Scripture. I don't recall exactly where it's written right at this point in time, but the Scriptures teach us, it may be in the same epistle of John. He speaks a lot about this. But the Bible tells us very plainly, if you love the Lord, it is because He first loved you and gave Himself for you. Now think about that verse of Scripture. If you love the Lord, it is because the Lord loved you. And if He loved you, it says He gave Himself for you. In other words, when He hung between the heavens and the earth on the cross of Calvary, after having lived here upon this earth for about 33 years, and after having on many occasions, in speaking to the people here in this world, said to them on many occasions, I did not come down here to do my will, but I came to do the will of my Father which sent me, and my Father's will is that of all that He has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise them up again at the last day. Now, he gave himself. And the Bible says to us, I believe one of the brethren quoted last night, and I think the brother referred to it there in his remarks that he made just before prayer, that the Lord loved us so well that he gave himself for us. He died for us. Now the Bible says if you love the Lord, it is because the Lord first loved you. And if the Lord loved you, when he hung there between the heavens and the earth and looked up towards his Father as he was nailed to that old cross and just before life left his body, he said, "Father, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. I now therefore commend my spirit into thy hands," and gave up the ghost. Now he said plainly what the work was. I came to do the will of my Father. And his will, what he sent me down here to do, was to redeem them that he had given me in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, buy them back. God owns us, whether we realize it this morning or not. This country divided and fought a war one time over whether a person in this world had the right to own someone else. I know there were a lot of things involved in that, but basically, most people, when they talk about the Civil War, they say that it was over slavery. And we, as human beings, do not have the right to own another human being. But God has the right because God made us. We are His. And that's one thing that sometimes, if you ever want to start to get lifted up in yourself, just remember that. You're a creation of God, just like the dogs. Now, we're above that. I don't want anybody to think I'm saying that we're just as any other thing. But remember that. God created us. He made us. He made the dogs. He made the cattle. He made the deer, the antelope. He made everything that was made, God made. And when you get to being lifted up in yourself, you remember that. God made you. And God owns you. We died under the law of sin and death when Adam transgressed God's law in the garden. That was the penalty that God put upon man and said, "If Adam, if you transgress that law, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die." And when Adam transgressed, we all died in Adam. Jesus came down here into this world to buy back that which was lost. That which had been become in bond, bonded. Jesus came back to buy back. And he finished that work on the cross of Calvary. And if you love the Lord this morning, it is because the Lord first loved you and gave himself for you. One other question I want to ask you, and as you sit there this morning, you look at the person sitting beside you, you examine within yourself, and the scripture adds, and I'll ask you this in this fashion, do you love the brethren? Look at the person next to you, and just think within your, do I love that person? Do you love the people that you're in this building? If the answer is yes, and this is what I think and saying sometimes as old Baptists, we fail to really explain to people what our belief is, what our hope is. As I said to those people that night, and when that was brought up, I hope I'm going to heaven. And I say that, and that is the way we are to answer someone, is that I hope that I am, and we do that because the Scriptures teach us, for what we have seen, why would we yet hope for? But it's that which we have not seen that we hope to see. I've not seen heaven. I know that it's there. I know that God is seated on His throne. I know that Jesus is seated on His right hand. I know that the angels are even now round the throne of God singing praises unto the God of heaven. I know that the spirits of them that have been born to the Spirit of God, that have passed from this life, I know that their spirit is there in the presence of God. But I have not seen that place, and I have not seen myself there. So the Scripture says we speak of it in hope. But when we speak of it in hope, we need to speak of it in hope in a particular way. And we don't need to just say to someone, when they ask us that in conversation, are you going to heaven? Have you been born to the Spirit of God? I hope so. And then just turn and walk away. Because that does not answer the question the way that we ought to answer it. We ought to first explain to them that the hope that I am speaking of is not within myself. It's not about what I can do to ensure that I will be able to go to heaven. But my hope is Jesus Christ, who is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and fadeth not away. That is my hope. Jesus Christ is my hope. And I want to tell you, as I ask you that question, if you look around and say, do I love the brethren? Do I love these people that are seated around me? I want to quote to you a verse of Scripture. And sometimes we're not able to rejoice in what God has done for us, because sometimes we fail to really, in ourselves, think about what God has done for us. Now, I said that brother, an older minister one time, used to speak of, and he'd always speak about that little man. And of course, I knew what he was trying to say, but just to be honest with you, for a while there, it began to agitate me that he would speak of a little man when the Bible plainly says, as I've said, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want you to understand something this morning. The old Baptists know a lot more than most of the world thinks we know. And again, part of the reason that they think we don't know so much is because sometimes we don't explain to them enough. Now, if you love the brethren, if you love the people that are seated around you in this building this morning, then the Bible says to us, as God's people, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's why it's so important when we speak of and we answer, as rightfully we should, that I hope that I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord. Or I hope that I have been born to the Spirit of God. And speak of it in those extremes, but really, truthfully, I know we doubt within ourselves sometimes, and there's no way around that. I think a lot of times, and I'm going to get to a verse of Scripture in just a minute, but I think a lot of times that as human beings, we're certainly going to have doubts. And I've often thought about, and I've come to the conclusion, there's no way around it. And one of the reasons I've come to the conclusion that there's no way around that for us to sometimes in this world have doubts about what God has done for us, what we are, is because there was a man that lived upon this earth one time by the name of John the Baptist. There are many other examples, but he is one of the greatest examples to me to show me that if he doubted, there ain't much hope for me getting through this world without it. Because here was a man that God spoke to before he was ever born into this world. I mean, the Scripture's plain. John, when Mary came to his mother Elizabeth, and she was with child, and Mary had been found with child of the Holy Ghost, and was told that that her cousin Elizabeth was also with child. And this was not just an ordinary child. This was one that God meant to be a witness of him that was to come, of him that was to be born of Mary. And she went to visit Elizabeth. And the scripture says that when Mary came in and said, spoke to Elizabeth, and it says in salutations, in other words, good day, Elizabeth, how are you doing? I've missed seeing you for some time. I've heard that you're expecting a child. At the salutations of Mary, that John wept for joy in his mother's womb. Before he ever saw the light of day in this world, God had already penetrated the heart of that little infant in his mother's womb and born him of his spirit. Gave him eternal life. Gave him the ability and gave him the understanding in his mother's womb that woman that stood there next to his mother that was saying hello to her, that within her was his Savior. John leapt for joy at that in his mother's womb. He was born on this earth. He went, and as we know, John the Baptist spent years in the wilderness, and then he came from the wilderness preaching, prepare you the way of the Lord. He began to baptize people in water. And he spoke to them on various occasions as he baptized them. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh one after me, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He shall baptize you with the fire and the Holy Ghost. And then John stood there one day in the Jordan River, and he was baptizing some folks. And there came Jesus walking down towards the river. And John saw him coming, and John looked, and he saw Jesus approaching to those people that were in the river with him that he was baptizing. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And as the Lord walked on down there and said, and John, seeing why that the Lord was come, said, Lord, I have needs to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? I have needs to be baptized with thee. Jesus said, suffer it to be so, John, that we might fulfill all righteousness. John took the Son of God down into the river of Jordan, and he stood and he held him and he laid him down beneath the water, and he brought him up out of the water as we do in baptism today. And at that point, John said, I saw something. He said, I saw the Spirit of God. It descended upon the Lord and sat upon his shoulder in the form of a dove. And said, I heard God from heaven speak to me and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John witnessed right there the Trinity. The Son of God was standing there. He had just brought him up out of the water. He said, that's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. The Spirit of God lit upon the shoulder of the Lord in the form of a dove, sat upon his shoulder. And God himself, God the Father, said to John from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And yet John, sometime later, was put into prison for preaching the truth. And he began to think within himself, you know, a lot of times we get in trouble by thinking. You've heard that before, I know, and sometimes it does cause us a lot of trouble. We think too much. And John sat there in prison, and I just, you know, I in a way just imagine John sitting there. All I've done is do what the Lord told me. The Lord told me to preach the truth. That's all I've done. And yet here I am, bound in prison, and more than likely they're going to lose my head. And all I did was preach the truth. And then he began to think within himself, well, now that man that came down to the river that day, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I didn't hear God say, this is my beloved son. Maybe that was just a vision or something that I thought that I saw. Maybe I didn't see the Spirit. And John said to his disciples, he said, go ask him. He said, go to Jesus. He said, ask him. Is he the Christ? Or should we be looking for another? Was I wrong in all that I thought that I saw and bore witness to? And John doubted. Now, if John doubted, having witnessed the Trinity, if John doubted, having been born of the Spirit of God and able to leap for joy before he was ever born here into this earth, if John doubted, I don't have any hopes that I'll get through this world without some doubts. But when we have those doubts, let us look to this verse of Scripture to bring us back out. You know that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. So think about those things. Think about those thoughts, those verses of Scripture. One says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of the Spirit of God. Another tells us that if we love the Lord, it is because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. And the third is that if we love the brethren, it is because we have passed from death unto life. So we need to explain to folks, and we need to be a little more confident of what the Lord has done for us than sometimes we are. Because what the Lord has done for me is greater than anything else. There's not, my mother loves me as good as a person could love anybody here on this earth. And I know beyond any doubt today that she would do anything on this earth for me. I believe my mother loved me to the extent that she would be willing to lay her life down to save mine. But in all that she has done, and all that she will do, and all that she wishes she could do, she can't come close to what the Lord has done for me. So let us be more confident about what the Lord has done for us. And let us be more assuring to those around us. Let us be a better witness, in a sense, of what the Lord has done for us. And if somebody asks you those questions, don't just say, well, I hope that I am, and then turn and walk away. You take the time to explain to them what you mean when you say, I hope that I am. Because you don't know. And that's one thing that we need to understand as the Church of God here upon this earth. And I really believe it's one way in which the old Baptist has been failing.